Hello and welcome to 18 Group's podcast on digital transformation for financial desktops, brought to you from our Intelligent Trading Summit held on June the 12th in New York City. The podcast focuses on how to integrate the many desktop applications used by financial firms on a daily basis and on how to create a smart desktop that is contextually aware of the user. It also touches on the FDC3 industry initiative that aims to accelerate change in desktop technology. Listen to our speaker, Adam Toms, CEO at OpenFin Europe, to find out more.
So I'm going to walk you through a little bit today around digital transformation for desktops and exactly what that means. So the focus will be on the word digital. It'll be on the word desktops. I'll also touch a little bit on mobile experience and the world of how things can work together in a better way. So first of all, I think everybody in the room should recognize this in terms of today, particularly in the front office in capital markets. It's a very, very fractured kind of ecosystem. Obviously, we have different departments within front office of fixed income, FX, equity, IBD. There's obviously asset management firms and so on. But then as you get into each of those individual kind of asset classes or trading divisions inside banks or teams within asset managers, there can be different flavors, right? There's different personas of a salesperson, a trader, a research person, and they're all using different applications to connect or to do their job on a daily basis. So there'll be trading systems, of course, market data systems, some of the products we talked about this morning. There'll be bank analytics, a whole bunch of things. And then, of course, from the corporate side of the bank, there's going to be a whole plethora of other applications, which is going to be risk management systems, compliance, finance, treasury, middle office, back office, all applications that are sitting on that person's desktop in some way or a piece of that information sitting on their desktop. And certainly, users today will be using, probably at least 10 applications in their daily workflow. And what's happened with this through time is that it's led to something like this, where this happens to be quite dominated by one particular vendor, but putting that to one side, you've got a desktop that is incredibly busy. It's very, very crowded. There's a real competition for real estate space on this desktop. A lot of the new tools we talked about this morning, think about MiFID II, new analytic dashboards and so on have been developed for traders to use for best execution, trade analysis, whatever it may be, all need to find their place on this desktop. So we do a great job of building individual applications. Fantastic job of building individual applications. But nobody's thinking about the whole desktop experience. Okay, that is left to the individual user every day to think about how they're going to manage their desktop, when they need to go from one application to another, when do they use new information, how do they find the best information at the right time, and make sure that they don't actually miss something. Certainly in my old world, we built a huge amount of analytics to support our salespeople, our traders, and so on. But actually, the level of user adoption was quite low because it required the person to think as part of their workflow, I'm going to go from this application to this application, I'm going to log in, and I'm going to look for this piece of information or whatever it may be. So how do we deal with this kind of desktop situation? How do we take these very powerful individual applications and make them work together, make the user much more productive, make them much safer? So at the heart of it, at the moment, we've all heard the words digital, we've heard the word digital transformation. It's initiatives that are taking place across the whole of the financial services industry, in fact, the entire many, many different industries, but certainly in financial services, we have a huge amount of digital transformation projects taking place at the present time. So what does digital actually mean on a desktop? For a desktop user, it really means that we want to empower users. We want to unlock all of that value that's sitting on their desktop with all of those applications. And we want them to access the innovation that's sitting inside these applications in a much more seamless way. So for digital, it can mean many, many different things. When we think about digital, when we're trying to make that user journey slightly different, the desktop needs to be much more intuitive. It needs to be ergonomic, agile, intelligent, needs to be interactive, needs to be really quite visual, really interesting walking around a lot of the stands outside, and some of the people have those kind of front kind of dashboards and so on. You know, visually very appealing, easy to interpret information, need to be very responsive, proactive, obviously automated. But most importantly, I think, is, you know, how we think about leveraging new tools, machine learning, AI. There's a huge amount of new applications being built that can sit on people's desktop and really assist people, you know, in a very positive way. But of course, that requires that, again, they need to fit inside this workflow. So this is really about creating a desktop that is much smarter and essentially is contextually aware. So it's aware of what is happening, what a user is doing on the desktop, and what application may be of use to that user as a next step. The other big thing is turning things into widgets. So it's really, really hard on that desktop picture we saw earlier to have an application sitting inside, for instance, a web browser. You sit inside a web browser, you're going to have lots of different tabs open in a web browser. You can't pull out windows and widgets and so on from a web browser. So there's a bunch of things about the look and feel of a desktop and this movement to widgets of information and driving workflow across a desktop in a very different way. So I'm not going to spend much time talking about the OpenFin OS. But I will tell you a little bit about the company in the sense that we are, you know, headquartered here in New York. We've been around for several years. We are used by 12 of the top 15 global investment banks and a growing number of the largest asset managers. And there are a huge amount of financial services vendors who are building and deploying applications on OpenFin. So people like Alchemy, Neptune, Tumid, Opendoor, so a lot of the new vendors, Luminex indeed as well, who are choosing to build and deploy on OpenFin because it empowers their individual vendor product. And then for the banks, they are designing a whole user journey for the desktop to operate in a very different way. And that is just some of the things that OpenFin can allow. And this graphic tries to depict some of those kind of widgets of information, more powerful widgets to drive people to use applications in a slightly different way. Crucially, nobody ever knows they're using OpenFin. We're completely invisible. If you go to a buy-side trading desk today and say, do you use OpenFin? They're like, I do not use OpenFin. And then you go into their task manager and you're like, you're using three applications running on OpenFin. So we are this very, very invisible layer that people are choosing to build and deploy on. So I want to take a step back and think about mobile experience for the moment, because mobile is really interesting. We often say in financial services, as much as we like to think of ourselves as innovators, there's lots of, you know, many other industries arguably way ahead of financial services in how we build and use technology. And mobile, in terms of user experience, is probably one of the best. You know, people have spent you know, lots of time over the past, you know, 10 years, defining a mobile phone experience. Really interesting, because we haven't spent a lot of time defining a desktop experience. So if we look here, we've got some three highly specialized applications. We have Facebook, we have Uber, and we have the FT app. So they've done a great job defining their application. It's much more compact in its information. And it does a great job. If I want to, you know, find out where my friends are or whatever, and then Facebook's going to do that for me. Uber's going to allow me to see where the cars are, book a journey. FT, I know all my news flow is in there. So specialized applications, as indeed is shown by outside, with all the vendor products, have a very important role. But we can certainly learn something from here. And the key is about how these applications talk to each other. So on our mobile phones, we know that, just like I did on my way here. So I walked outside of the office, I opened up my calendar on my iPhone, I clicked the address, which was in the calendar appointment, which the 18 group kindly provided me with, which then invoked Google Maps. Google Maps showed me the exact location. And then from there, I decide I'm going to take a car and invoke Uber, so it invokes the Uber app automatically. And then from Uber, if I wanted to, I didn't on this occasion, but I could have, message my friends and told them where I am at the present time. So this is essentially four different applications built by different people, but there is a context, an intent being passed between these applications on the phone, which is allowing these apps to understand this piece of information and do something with it. Quite crucial. Now, to do this, you need to have each application needs to understand each other. So that's a standard, it's a messaging standard. We know that in financial markets, for instance, so the FIX protocol, the server-side connectivity would be one of the best examples. And of course, we've got many other examples around the world. One of the most, one of the earliest ones was certainly from in aviation terms, where it just wouldn't be right to have one pilot talking in Chinese to the control tower and the control tower answering back in Russian. So in aviation terms, something was the standard that was created was called aviation English. Perhaps even closer to home, we have the World Wide Web Consortium, the W3C. W3C created in 1994 to create web standards so that all web content, and irrespective of the browser that you use, Safari, Google, Firefox, whatever it may be, that the web page would be displayed and the functionality would work. So at OpenFin, it was pretty clear to us, a lot of our clients were building these messaging protocols for applications to talk to each other, but as they've been bringing more and more external applications into their environment and all the vendor products, obviously, that we need a common standard for applications on a desktop to be able to communicate with each other. So FDC3 was born, Financial Desktop Connectivity and Collaboration Consortium, which was established back in October, was publicly announced back in March. And this is an industry initiative. So I think even though OpenFin started this initiative, and I'll talk more about where we've moved the project now, it's really owned by the whole community, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. So you can think of it almost as like desktop fix, as per my analogy for the mobile phone and so on, but you essentially have a message which is being exchanged on a desktop that allows applications to understand each other. And so far, we've obviously defined, you know, well, what are the applications that are participating in this initiative and how do they sit in an application directory? How do we know what this context is that needs to be passed between applications? How do we know the intent of this information and so on? And how do we leverage those? So this is really about, you know, at the heart, as well as defining that complete kind of empowering, individual products and a user desktop experience, it's also about eliminating and reducing bespoke bilateral integrations. We hear all the time how vendors or, you know, banks to vendor or whatever it may be, or bank to client, are carrying out some type of bespoke bilateral integration. They're coding to the various APIs, whatever it may be. Turns out a lot of this information could just be exchanged on the desktop without going off server side, just between the two applications. And if we have a standard, FDC3, to do that, we can all save a great deal of time. So when we started this group, it started with a bunch of the major banks, very quickly expanded to include a number of the largest vendors, and here are the 20 names who have supported the initiative publicly since March, or up to March. Since that point, the group has now grown to over 40 people. Okay, so if your organization would like to be involved in FTC3, we'd love to have you participate. Because many of these organizations are now adapting and adopting these FTC3 standards to bring to life these interoperability on financial desktops. I think one thing that strikes me is the breadth and diversity of the type of people who have been interested in the initiative. Everybody identifies with it being something that isn't much needed by the industry. It's going to save a huge amount of money. But also it's really going to enable this kind of move forward in terms of enhancing people's products, but also defining better desktop experience. So with that, I'll skip that, but I think it's quite interesting. So certainly having come from a large bank, getting press releases signed off inside large banks is quite a trick, to say the least. This press release, when we said we was going to announce FTC3 publicly, 20 banks managed to, and financial services vendors and asset managers managed to get sign-off from their internal corporate comms teams. They felt it was really important they'd be participating in that announcement. And we actually had 11 of them quote, and we had people jostling with us for their position of the quote in the release. So with that great big kind of broad adoption, but crucially, the project's now big just for an OpenFin, so it's now been moved out into the Finos Foundation. If you're not familiar with Finos, it is the old Symphony Software Foundation. It's now called Finos FinTech Open Source Foundation. And under Finos, which is an independent neutral third party, we're really hoping that the FTC3 framework and project will result in much faster adoption across the industry. Finos can bring quite a nice kind of governance framework to that project and make sure it's truly owned by the industry and not just something that was obviously led initially by OpenFin. Getting started with FTC3, first of all, I should tell you that I'm not a tech guy, but I'm assured it's incredibly simple to take applications that you all have today, internal applications, external applications, to start building an FTC3 experience. And these are some of the steps, which I'm not going to go into. There's a website you can visit to get all the information about FTC3, register for updates and so on, which is really important. But I think for me, and I think, one of the examples I'd like to give you of that experience, it really goes to the point below, which is don't just think about financial desktops. This is applicable to, to every area of financial services, right? In compliance, risk management, portfolio managers, middle office, back office, technical support teams. Technical support teams is a really big one. I lost track of the amount of times in my old firms, if I was to look through the error database, a lot of our errors used to obviously be around the close, right? So closing algorithms, so you'd have a problem on the close, and obviously if the market's closed, you can't trade out of position, and inherently overnight risk is much more expensive than intraday risk. And if we had a problem in a closing auction, for example, our support guys would be moving between different applications, searching for order IDs and trying to find out, was it the smart order router, was it the algo, was it the exchange connection, what piece of our infrastructure was, and we had a lot of smart kind of tracing tools and so on, but we were losing crucial seconds and minutes to diagnose and fix the problem. With something like this type of experience on OpenFin or leveraging FTC3, you can literally touch an order ID and it can explode all the widgets that know what to do with an order ID and bring all of that information to the front of the user instantly. Super, super, super powerful. End message, definitely tools and standards are definitely here to digitally transform desktops. And if you want more information, you can visit FTC3.org. It is super important. I think making sure we have critical mass so that everybody agrees those standards and we don't start getting variants of the standard is really, really quite important. And I think having a diversity of firms kind of helps us protect against that in a big way. The other thing is also about defining interactions. So we should also be clear, some people think there's commercial sensitivities, right? They don't want their application one talking to application two. And therefore you want to create some barriers around how that information is shared on a desktop, perhaps between competitors or something like that. And that is also possible. So you can list the applications you're willing to kind of interact with and the type of information that you'd be willing to have transient as part of that desktop experience. Somebody asked me recently, what makes this difference? Why will this exist? I think it is because, we're up to 40 firms. It's gone off into Finos Foundation. I think it's super important that we have that kind of independent structure to kind of drive these standards.
Thank you for listening to our podcast on digital transformation for financial desktops. For more trading technology content from A-Team Group, visit our website at intelligenttradingtechnology.com. You can also sign up on the website for our next Intelligent Trading Summit, which will be held in London on 28th of November and is free of charge for financial institutions.